Hey guys, welcome to Honey, We Need to Chat, the place where we, Kamada, no, what is it? I want to do it again.
Where is it?
We're Communicata, aka Chat.
We Communicata. Is that a word?
I don't know. Isn't that Spanish? What's communication for Spanish? You did Spanish
probably.
In school.
Yeah. I lived in Spain.
You lived in Spain?
Don't ask.
Okay. I don't know. Well, that's what we do with chat. We communicata.
Communicata.
Well, we eat salada. I literally came up with that in the shower. I was sitting there. I was practicing my intros.
And you came up with that?
And then that's stuffed it. But it's all right. We're moving on. Today, we have a special guest, our lovely six-month-old golden retriever, Bonnie. She's asleep, though.
Hopefully, she doesn't make too much noise.
Mm. She starts cleaning herself. It is her, just so you know.
We'll just have to stop the sound, I think, yeah. If we do that. Yeah.
Today is a Reddit chat.
Yep.
We're into Reddit chat, and my job is to do a question
chat
from
jar.
The chat jar.
Chat jar.
I thought maybe not today, tonight.
Okay.
I thought today my mental health was pretty kicked in the face.
Yeah.
And I wanted to check in with you. How are you doing? Because that's a when my mental health struggles, it really affects you. So how are you going today?
I also had a crappy day, but the kids were very full on. I think it always is because you had a burnout. It's always a little bit triggering when you struggle because it was a really bleak time when you did have that burnout. So it's not bad or anything. And it's not your fault. Like, you should be able to have crappy days and it not affect me, but I think it puts me on edge a little bit. Yeah, but I would say I'm seven or eight.
Out of 10?
Yeah.
What goes on for you when there's a trigger?
I just kind of like, it's like a bit of a heavy cloud that goes through my day. I find it like easier to be snappy with the kids and overwhelmed quickly and that kind of thing. Yeah.
So I wanted to check because I hadn't asked you properly yet. And yeah, I just wanted to be, again, still wanting to be real.
Yeah.
My relapses or whatever you want to call it for my mental health, it's very sporadic. Like it's not common. And I think today, just a mixture of things. I mean, I'm quite tired too. You know, we've been, I've been camping in the backyard with the kids. And which
not
means
the
I, don't
sleep.
Get, I don't get the most sleep. So I am quite tired, but I just had work things that are really struggling in the moment. I work from home, which is great a lot of the time, but very hard for a high extrovert a lot of the time as well. And I just don't get that people time. But I went to my mum's to work today, which helped. And it's been helping.
Just to get out of the house.
Yeah, just to get out of the house, just to change the scenery a little bit. I haven't been going for walks really since the weekend as well, which I was trying to do with Bonnie, which I did quite a bit last week. I went for walks and hadn't really done it since the weekend. And I do notice when I'm not as physical, I struggle a bit there if I get much physical exercise in or something. So I think it's just a mixed bag this morning. But it's funny, like I just get to these points where my mind just shuts down.
Yeah.
Like I don't really know what I'm thinking. I don't really know what to think. I'm just low. And it really hits me. I think when I get low, I get really low. It's not often, but when it hits me hard. But then that's the sucky thing is that, you know, as a parent, it doesn't just affect you.
It's so interesting. Like we've definitely noticed patterns and things like triggers for, I think everybody has that when they're wrestling with any kind of mental health stuff. There's triggers that come and like certain types of tasks at work or certain situations like lack of sleep and that kind of thing. It's been really helpful for us to workshop that as we've gone, I guess. Probably only really in the last 4 years, mental health has been a big conversation for us. So I think it's a good, we're in a good place. Just because we have crappy days doesn't mean it's crappy. Like that's actually just part of life and how we weather them is the important part. Good chat.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I appreciate you. I was talking to Bonnie.
Should we dive right in?
Let's chat.
All right. Well, as has become the habit, I have a theme for today's stories. And today's theme is broken trust or trust that is broken or some clever way that I might figure out after I edit this episode. Whoa. Dun, dun, dun. And also, as per usual, these stories are coming from r/relationships on Reddit.
Got it.
And also, as not per usual, unusually, keep listening out for the end because we have an exciting addition to our offerings on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So we will have extra content, a little bit more personal. We'll talk about it more.
Yeah, we'll talk about it at the end. Stick around for the end.
Yeah, I'm just flagging something exciting is coming. Make sure you check it out.
Yeah, check it.
Honey, we need to chat.
Okay, first story. Boyfriend 32 lets family in on relationship and now they don't like me. I understand how this sounds. I really just want to give full context so I can get genuine advice. My 29 female, boyfriend 32 male, and I moved in together after a year. We had our growing disagreements and arguments. The thing is, he's been telling his family and friends everything. I understand friends, but with his family, he painted me in such a bad light that they don't like me anymore. I also understand venting, but he made himself out to be the victim and made me the bad guy. Now his mother is saying it will be years until she tries to connect with me again. He's trying to make amends with them and say we are in a good place now, but they don't want to hear it. He wants me to take half responsibility for him telling them because I was the one making him feel such a way that he had to tell his family. I don't feel like he just vented to his family. I feel like he wanted to be validated by them and gave them a very wrong version of what had been happening so he could feel better about himself and become a victim. We had our fights and arguments, sure, and I'll take half the blame for that. But saying I should take half the blame in him telling his family is something he did not have to do.
Hmm.
What do you think?
Okay, so the guy, her boyfriend has gone to Mumsy's and said, these are bad things.
She's doing this.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Now Mumsy is struggling with her saying it's going to take me a while to trust you.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Things are broken. They don't really like her. They've got an opinion of her.
Yeah.
It's damaged that relationship. So basically, it seems like he tells everyone everything that they're going through. And she said, I understand the friends, but with the family, that's now damaged how they view me. And I can't fix that. So the reason I brought this one up is, for one thing, obviously, there's an issue that's gone on. There's some trust broken in a few different ways. He's broken her trust in some ways because he's aired their dirty laundry. Also, the other thing is, we don't know what these issues are. So as I was reading this, especially as a mom, I'm like, yeah, well, sometimes there would be things that, you know, depending on what the issue is, you do need to talk with your family about and get advice from. So I can understand that we don't have all the context is basically what I'm trying to say there. But he's obviously broken trust with her by sharing their issues. He's broken trust with their family if it's been not the correct story. So there's that going on too. But also just the kind of underlying story that I was going to flag and what we've started to bring in is like how this impacts relationships generally too. So not just this story, but sharing your issues with people inappropriately is a break of trust.
So there's many layers to this, I feel. Okay, so one, I'm sensing, from what we know, a bit of victim mentality, which is one topic.
Yeah.
Second topic is family.
Yeah.
Third topic is venting or getting opinions and stuff. So I'm breaking it down into three sections.
Yeah.
Victim mentality is one thing. If all he's sharing is what is like how he's the victim, that is in no way healthy in any relationship, even outside of, it's not even healthy for him.
Mm.
I think a lot of people can exaggerate that victim mentality. Like I feel like a lot of people are victims.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of people get stuck in that view for themselves. Like, oh, woe is me. This is happening to me again. And it's always, and you've got to keep telling that story of you being a victim because that's what people, you get an attention, you get a reaction. You feed off it. And so that's the one thing there is it sounds like he's not just getting it from his family, he's getting it from his friends as well.
Yeah.
Families are very tricky.
Yes.
There's so many things that go into families. It's not even just a matter of family dynamic. It's even down to individuals in that family's dynamic and the role that they play in our family and all those sorts of things. There's so many layers within a family culture, family situations of why he might be doing it. He might feel that he needs to get validation and attention from his family. But the fact that he's doing it with his friends as well is another thing. I would really struggle if that was you.
Mm.
Even with your friends, even as well, I am okay with you discussing with your friends for a positive outcome.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're working through, because I do this with you and I've shared this with you. I will work through a topic or a sticky situation and try to make sense of something with a friend, but I won't go, Amy's done this, 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 and this.
Yeah.
That's not the space for that, because that is not productive in my opinion. And I don't think that's feeding into anything positive into us, right? Like yeah. I don't feel that venting is a healthy way of dealing with our situation. I think there's a positive, constructive way.
Mm.
Sometimes it might be blunt with that person because there's frustration built into that. But if your aim is to unpack it and understand it and want to come back more positively, that's okay. Like, you know, I would be okay with you doing that with your friends.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be okay with if you were reacting this way.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't trust you. I would lose trust in you. It would actually, it would hurt
mm-hmm.
and I would lose trust in you.
Yeah. Well, it 100% affects how you communicate
mm.
because you'd start to be like, I don't want to say that, or I'm just going to shut down, or stonewalling. You know, we talked about the four horsemen. It would play right into those because you'd either get defensive or you'd get like critical or you'd get stonewalling. You just like avoid the conversation altogether because you're scared that he's going to tell his family.
Yeah.
I think for me, the biggest thing, and we say this a lot, but is what is the outcome that you want?
Yeah.
Is the outcome he wants really because he's just like stuck in his head and he's like, oh, I just can't get it. I can't figure out what's going on with us. And that's why he's asking for the advice. Obviously, we will never know because mm-hmm. we don't know this guy. And even if we did, who knows what's going on inside. If that's the outcome, that's one thing. I don't think that kind of attitude usually would result in this kind of response from people.
Mm.
But like you said, family is a really complicated area. And so for the most part, I actually wouldn't say that my suggestion to people would be to use your family as a sounding board in this way. Because that, like you said, the dynamics are way too complicated. You can use them for like, you'll share with them because often they're the people you're closest to. Like my sisters are some of my best friends.
Yeah.
But there are so many complicated dynamics in how you interact with them, how they take in the information. How
he's 32 like years old. Yeah. They've known him for 32 years.
Yeah.
They've known her for how long?
You know, however long, yeah.
How long they've been dating for. But like, there's going to be a lot more of a solid relationship there.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's healthy relationship or not, it's got history.
Yeah.
They don't have that with her. So obviously it's not going to be a healthy place to vent.
Yeah. And know? Obviously, like if you've got a really solid family dynamic that's very good at neutral wisdom and advice, that's probably different.
Hmm.
But I feel like for the most part, not because everyone's family is screwed up or anything like that, but just because of these dynamics we've mentioned, it's just very tricky to navigate that. It would be way better for him to have trusted friends that he looks up to and respects their opinions on to be workshopping this.
If you took our issues to your dad, can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? Like that would be so intense and it would be...
It would have just reinforced
like, exactly
the tricky dynamics. Yeah.
Exactly. Because again, what parents are doing, and your dad was doing this with you, especially as the oldest, is now he's handing over what his role has been to me.
Yeah.
That's going to be so... And we haven't got to that stage yet, but that has going to be so incredibly hard.
Oh my gosh, so complicated.
So hard.
Emotionally.
So again, 32 years this guy is. Yeah. If in the mum... You know, she is now handing over that role of looking after her boy to this girl, to this lady.
Yeah.
That's going to be so hard. So you're going to have, you know, whether the mum's right or wrong to have that view, I can put myself in a position and be like, that would be tough.
Yeah.
That would be so tough. So if one of our kids came and vented to me about their partner, it'd be very hard for me not to have negative views towards their partner.
Yeah. I actually don't think it's fair for you to do that to your family.
No.
Because like you said, Dad's a good example because my father actually has passed away. So we talk about him past tense now and I love him so much, but he was a very complicated man and very intense personality. And so,
but he had a love for you guys. Yes. Like it was an intense love.
Yeah,
he
adored extremely you protective, extremely loving of us, which was amazing. It did cause it to be tense to say the least at times, but it like worked out. It just was complicated. So we're all good. But he's a good example of very obviously working through his own stuff. So he's actually grieving. He's actually processing his new role. He's grieving what is and what wasn't and what changed. He's trying to accept this new man in my life and learn to love him and appreciate him for being Blair, for who he is. And so for me to put that in there, even though he's someone that I love and potentially if we had that kind of relationship would be someone I go to for wisdom, is actually not fair. I feel like it's not fair on me to do that to him. And I would say even for my mom and my even my siblings who are kind of a step removed from that, like to a certain degree, I don't know that it's fair. And it's comes probably down to like emotional attachments and stuff like that to family. And often these are really complicated as well. But I think if he had taken a moment, if this is genuinely true and he had taken a moment to be like, what do I want my family's relationship with my girlfriend to be? And then thought about that and then thought about how is this going to impact it? He probably would not have chosen to do what he did.
Because I think a relationship is a holistic view too, right? Yeah, so it's not even just part. It's not just you and I. It's how is it with you and I and my family? How is it you and me with your family?
Yeah.
How is that then going to trickle down to my relationship with your parents? Then my kids are involved too.
Yeah, you know, you have kids, exactly. All of those, as you build your life together. I will say if there's any abuse or any kind of like that kind of behavior going on, that's like, that's a different issue. And that's always going to be the case with every one of these stories.
Yeah. And I mean, you might have the healthiest relationship with your parents. So again, like we can't dictate for everyone, like, oh, don't talk to your folks about it. Don't talk to your family about it.
We don't know your dynamics.
From the sounds like in this situation, this was not a wise move.
If this is flip the story, I told my family stuff that was going on. They had this opinion about you and it was like a broken relationship that now we're trying to fix. How would you navigate that? Or how would we navigate that, do you think?
I think it'd be very, especially because, again, putting yourself in that position, your mum or your dad would be the one that's having trust issues with me. I really think that you would need to have that. Oh, it's so hard because, again, as a dad...
Once it's out there.
Yeah. Like, how do I know that my daughter wasn't being made to say those things? How would I know they weren't safe in doing that?
Yeah.
But I think it would be a matter of, again, in the perfect world, you, me, and your dad would be sitting down and be like, hey, you know, this is the situation. How? And bringing him in that conversation too. I think that's a whole other level of complexity, a whole other level of awkwardness. But again, I think it needs to go to that level of, you know, now he's having those trust issues. How do we mend that? Not how do you mend that? I think even though I believe you would have made the mistake, I'm still part of this relationship and I want the outcome to be this.
That's a really good point.
So I still need to be a part of that mending, even though it wasn't me that did it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so that's actually a really good side of it because she's now saying he's done this thing, he's ruined it, and he's trying to get me to take responsibility, which she needs to ask the question, what does she want the outcome to be for her relationship with his family, for her relationship with him? If she's happy for it to just be a wedge that now he's caused a wedge, there's a wedge, and that's what it's going to be, and she's all right with that, that's one thing. If it's something she's like, actually, no, I want to be in your life for the rest of our lives, like we're working towards that future, and I am not happy with my in-laws having this picture of me, then they need to discuss it, and there probably needs to be some apology and working through it as a couple, but they do need to be on the same page and be able to communicate to the family, like bring in the family at some level. And relationships take a while to rebuild from trust. So it won't be, I can't picture, unless there's some really specific thing that happened and he said she did it and she didn't or something like that, where it could be quick. Like most of the time, it's going to be like over time, her proving herself to them, which is unfortunate that she has to do, but that is your actions will speak way louder than words eventually. And I've seen it happen, but you do have to become a team. You can't be like, he's doing that or she's doing that. That's never going to result in a positive outcome.
And in-laws are hard, you know, and no offense to my in-laws, but in-laws are hard because what it is two different families coming together and coming from two different perspectives, two different experiences, two different traumas, two different everything, right?
Yeah.
And I've been so appreciative of your family, and my family's done this for you too, is where I've actually had, you know, we haven't had this situation, but we've been in situations where I've had to have conversations with your family, you know, and work through that because your family is still your family, which makes your family my family. And that still needs. So when we talk about communication, we're not just talking about marriage or partners. This is communication in general
relationship.
and relationship in general. And so communicating with your family has made, I believe, me closer to your family.
Oh, absolutely. Mm. Yeah. And it's, I feel the same with any of our conversations. The yucky, uncomfortable, painful ones, if they're done with the right heart, they're uncomfortable, but they always have brought us closer.
Yeah, absolutely. Because your family, and I've said this to you before, like, I don't have any sisters. Mm. And now your sisters feel like my sisters. Mm. Your brother's one of my favorite people in the world, right? And Matt, I don't even know if you listen to this episode, this podcast. If you don't, sucks to be you. But yeah, like, one of my favorite people on this planet. And again, it's just been through that intentionality. Mm. We talk about that a lot, intentionality. And I see that here too, in this situation. And that's where it would be, yes, she, sucky as it is, I believe that she needs to be in the conversation with her partner and his mum.
Yeah.
Oh. Nailed it. What do you think, Bonnie? Nailed it? Yep. Don't move. Stay there.
I also practiced something in the bathroom before we came in and I forgot to say it.
Do I want to know?
Yeah. My face is so red all the time and I thought it would be a fun little game for you guys. You can turn it into just like a bingo kind of game or whatever you want it to be. Am I red because I'm flushed? Am I red because I had a sip of alcohol? Am I red because I'm embarrassed? No one will ever know, but go ahead and guess. Tonight it's because I had a little bit of alcohol.
Is there a fourth option? I'm red too. Yeah. I'm red too. I had a shower. My face is, it looks red in the camera at least.
Your hat is red.
It is red.
As it is every week. That's the one thing when I edit as well. I can just see your hat every week. It's like, which one is Blair? I don't know. I'll look at my outfit and then I'll know which one is the right week.
So you need to see my hat to know which one it is, which one is
no,
me.
I'll be like looking at you and I have no idea because it's the same every week. I have to look at my outfit to know which week it is.
I got you. Okay, I thought you meant you're looking at the you're looking at the recording and you're like, which one's which? Blair? Oh, find the red hat.
Not the beard or any other aspect or the fact that I am myself.
Yeah. There he is. He's got a red hat.
I am a little face blind, I think so. Never know.
Very face blind. Right. We are actually the perfect couple. All right. So fun fact about us.
There you go. You heard it here.
We, Amy is very face blind and I am very name blind. So I really struggle to remember people's names. Amy has no clue of what people look like 5 seconds after she's met them. It's crazy. But we'll go somewhere and like, oh, that's what's a face and, you know, from the thingamabob, and I'll share where they're from. And she's like, and she won't recognize them at all, but then I'll be able to explain where they're from. And she'll be like, oh, that's old mate Jeff or whatever it is.
But do you know how much we're also the worst couple ever because of that exact same thing? Because you could be like, look, that's that person we know. I don't know their name, but that's the person. And I'll be like, I don't know that face from a bar. So yeah. I know everyone's names, but I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
So we're both perfect and the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, we're still the perfect couple. Just we're just worse.
I mean, but everyone knows that now.
Yeah. We're worst at remembering people.
Yeah.
But we love you.
I thought you were saying worst at, like, perfect and worst together. And I was like, that's a cool word. We're the worst at. Worst at. Anyway.
Yep.
All right. Next story. Okay. Girlfriend 27 says she found another girl's shirt at our apartment, except I, male 27, haven't had any girls over ever. So I was at work and my girlfriend texts me, have you had anyone over that I don't know about? I replied, of course not. What are you talking about? She says she found a shirt that isn't hers and keeps saying I need to be honest with her, except that I am being honest. I have not had anyone over since we moved here 6 months ago. No friends, nothing. I said that and that she should show me the shirt and she wouldn't. I told her it might have been from when she took some laundry home from work, and she said it definitely wasn't. Now she's saying she doesn't believe me and that I need to stay away from her, and she has ghosted me. I came home and she was gone. I still don't know what shirt it is, and unfortunately, my parents arrived tonight as they were supposed to be staying with us, so they're obviously confused as to why she's not here. I don't really know what to do now. I feel like she should listen to me. We have been together for 3 years, and she should know me better than this. She's had some jealousy issues before, and I'm honestly wondering if I've just had enough. I would appreciate some advice here. How should I handle this situation?
I don't know.
I thought this was an interesting one because there are some things that there may be trust issues in, and we've definitely had these things before. And there's some things that I just have asked you so many times. Mm. And there's no way you'll ever be able to just prove to my head. There's just no way.
Mm.
So how do you navigate that as a couple when there's like, I can't prove to you that this is not a thing. And it sucks that she's found something. If she has found it, obviously she hasn't shown him a shirt. So
To me, it just sounds like she's looking for an excuse to break up with him or something.
It does sound a little bit like that. Or her insecurities just got the best of her and she was trying to trick him into admitting something. But then I'm not sure why she's ghosted him, because if he'd caught her out on that, you'd think she'd be like, oh, okay, now you're right. But anyway, I think there are things in relationships where for whatever reason, someone might have an insecurity or a trust issue and they might bring that into the relationship, whether it's founded or not, like whether there's any reason to or not. And there's really nothing that the other partner can do to prove that thing. Sometimes there's things you can prove. Then there's a whole bunch of stuff that you really just can't ever, except for saying what you say. There's no other way other than using your words to put someone's mind at ease. And it is a complicated issue.
You're saying that sometimes there's something that's on your mind and you ask me, are you more talking about when, like, okay, so let's go a very tame
example
then, mm-hmm. Okay. So mornings, I hate life, okay? I'm not a morning person at all.
Oh, yeah.
And you will constantly ask me, are you okay? Mm-hmm. Are you okay? Mm-hmm. Are you okay? Like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just waking up. Just give me some time. I'm fine. Just
it's the worst time to ask me because you're in the worst mood.
Yeah, I am. I'm fine. Just don't talk to me. That's how
it
is.
Why does it sound like maybe we had this conversation today?
Did we have this conversation?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. So is that sort of what you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, on a very, very
tame
level. Yeah, 100%. But I think that would be the least of the issues. There are sometimes deeper rooted things that are hard to overcome because of things. Anyway, if this was you got a phone call from me and I was like, I found a woman's shirt in your bag or something like that. That's more specific, but
I think why I'm finding this conversation so hard is because there's no conversation there.
Yeah, there's
like
no
she's just shut off. So you're asking, what would I do? Well, there's nothing to do because you would be shutting me off. Mm. There's no space for reconciliation or anything.
I don't believe that, because he still could do something right now, I reckon.
Yeah.
I reckon he could say, I think he could contact her, like text her or something.
Hasn't he done that?
I'm sure he has. But I think he could do it again and say, this isn't my shirt. I don't know what it is. I understand that you're worried about it, and that's okay. If you want to talk,
But that's what she's saying, though, is that she's ghosted him.
Yeah.
So he can't get onto her.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is something that we've been learning about is you can't control somebody else.
Yeah.
But you can control your approach to things. So yeah. I think there's still an approach he could take. He can't force her to come back and their relationship to be rebuilt.
So I think that's in my head. He's already done that. So yeah, he's done that. He's tried. He's reached out. She's still ghosting him. Mm. So in that situation, well, what do you do? Yeah. I have no clue.
Well, if she's asked for space, then
has she asked for space?
She said, you need to stay away from me. Yeah.
I don't get too much into that story because I was seeing so many weird things in that story. I'm like, well, does that mean you need to stay away from me forever? Or is that a break? What does that mean? Like, there's no clarity around that. Let's say that it is actually us and you found that shirt. Mm-hmm. Well, one, I'd want to see this shirt. Yeah. Like, what are you even talking about?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think it would just get me so left field. I'm like, if this guy is real, he hasn't had anyone around. He doesn't know what shirt it is or anything else like that. I think I'd just be so confused. I'm like, what are you talking about? Mm. I don't know anyone. I haven't been there. I think I would naturally get quite frustrated because I'd be so confused. But then I'd be, all right, well, again, if this guy is completely innocent, I would be talking about, well, obviously the focus needs to be, where is she coming from and what is causing that trigger for her?
Yeah.
So to understand that, and not in an accusing way, because that's not going to help anything.
Yeah.
If I come and say like, oh, you're just being crazy, well, that's not going to go far. But if I don't know, I think you'd need to go straight back to, all right, you've got this trigger. It's caused this response. You need to unpack, and we would have to have that conversation of, okay, well, what happened for you in that trigger? Mm. You know, I don't like this scenario because there's so many questions I have about it.
Yeah, so much lacking of information.
Yeah.
I think if I was to be automatically put into this exact situation, I like one thing I've tried to think about recently a little bit is like, again, I can't control someone else. What is the most healthy reaction I can have? What's the most neutral, healthy, pulling me towards the outcome I want without being able to control anybody around it? So I think if I was him, I would put it out there as like a final, if she's just not talking to me, she's ghosting me, she's whatever, I'd put it out there as like a final thing and say, look, you're not no one, so I'm not going to just not try, but also this is it. So I'd say, I can see you're not responding to me. I don't know what's going on. That is, I have not had anybody over. I need you to trust me on that. I'm happy to discuss it if you want. I'm curious what's making you so nervous about this. Is there something else going on? My door is open, but also I'm not going to keep pressuring you. Like, I'm not going to keep chasing you, because if she's not in a good place for a relationship, it's probably not a good time for her to be in a relationship either. So him forcing that to be fine is not going to make it better either. It might just be that they're not in a healthy place and they can't work through this together.
Because the other thing too, though, if this was us, does it say how long they've been dating for?
No, but they moved 6 months ago into the place, so I'm not sure how long.
Okay, so maybe for a while. Again, so much vagueness around this story, but I think, again, if we could bring it back to us, you know, been nearly married for 10 years, if you reacted that way, there'd be something so much more serious going on.
Oh, there'd be a huge amount of stuff going on, yeah.
And it'd be a matter of trying to figure that out. Mm. Like, all right, well, what's going on for you and how do we work through that? Yeah. And we've had to do that, you know. Okay, can I bring a scenario up?
Yeah.
So there was a time when you asked me about this girl that you thought was showing interest towards me.
Mm-hmm.
And you asked me that question. You're like, what's going on? Like, is there anything going on? Like, do you have any feelings? And I'm like, no. Like, not why? Like, and in my head, I was so confused by why would you ask me that? You know, you don't trust. I got offended by it because I was like, you don't trust me? Like, why would you not trust me on that? I'm your husband.
I'm not that guy.
I'm not that guy. Mm. And I was. That hit me so hard because I knew of the guy that I did not want to be, and that was that guy that I never wanted to be. And now you're kind of accusing me of it. Well, not accusing, but you're inquiring about it. And I got quite offended by it. And this caused a big argument between you and I. And we were chatting about it, and we paused because we were just going around in circles. We weren't being constructive. It was just defensive on both sides.
Mm.
We paused. We came back to the conversation, and we then focused on why did I react my way and why did you react your way?
Yeah.
And for me, I reacted out of defensiveness, which then sparks your defensiveness because you're asking, like, why are you being so defensive? For me, it was because how dare you accuse me of being that guy? Like, I despise those guys. You know, why would you accuse me of that? I've worked so hard. I've you know, really wanted to, I forgot this high standard of the man I want to be, the husband I want to be, the dad I want to be, blah, blah, blah. I know my struggles. That's not one of them.
Mm.
And for you, you had your reasons, which I don't need to share on here. About why that was such a pressing thing for you and why. And I hadn't done anything wrong. And I was able to share with you how I hadn't done anything wrong, but you were able to share with me about why it was significant and what would be appropriate from here, you know what I mean? And how we can navigate that together going forward. Something I really tried to do was reassure you of and validate your experience coming into the situation. But also trying to help you explain why I did react the way that I did and paint that picture rather than just stay offended. Because, you know, that wasn't super long ago and two triggers were sparked and that was the sort of reaction, and then we had to unpack that.
And it would be really easy to have stayed in that triggered place.
Absolutely.
Like, even if we hadn't paused.
Yeah.
Like, which I'm glad we had that rule that we've spoken about on here a bunch, which is like, if we can't talk constructively, basically we take a break. One of us will say, I can't talk about this right now, but you have to come back to it.
Mm.
I'm glad that we did that, even though it was like 5 minutes, but it was like, that was enough to kind of circuit break it, that we could have a fuller conversation. And that was when our brains were able to really unpack what was going on. Like, if we hadn't paused, I feel like it would have been very easy to end that conversation and that moment and then have gone into the next conversation, a moment already defensive because you're already frustrated about how that went. and just a downward spiral. Yeah, because like the moment you become defensive when I've asked you if you've done something, which I didn't ask if you've done something, but no. I was like, I'm concerned about this, and you get defensive, then I'm like, why are you so defensive? Mm. And then you'd be like, why are you so sus on me? Like, what do you think about me? And then I'd be like, why are you acting so weird? Like, it just, you can see how that feeds on itself.
Mm.
And I don't want to go into this too much because this is semi the conversation we'll be having later.
Yes, just a grand more for that one. But something I wanted to say, in that pause, when we did pause, we went straight to, why am I reacting this way?
Yeah.
Well, I did anyway. I don't know if you did. I went straight into taking a deep breath, thinking of the situation, because I was so confused. Because for me, I'm like, how did you even arrive at that point? You know, I just was so confused, took a deep breath. Why can I not be understanding and hear you out? Like, why am I being so triggered right now? And I couldn't do that in the conversation.
Yeah.
I couldn't unpack it. I'm not smart-witted enough to, like, have that conversation, I hear the conversation on the fly. Mm. And even if I was, I think my quickness would be hurtful and damaging.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to get into, I need to win this conversation. I'm going to win it through debating and arguing and proving you wrong.
Yeah.
But it's so much deeper. There was so much more to that conversation than what you just asked.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know what's going to happen for this couple, but if they're able to communicate.
Good luck.
Good luck. If they're able to come back and have a conversation, I really do hope that they're able to be clearer headed and explore what's sitting behind it. Because it's obviously not, if the story is true, it's obviously not the surface level stuff. There's other stuff going on. Next and last story for the ep. I, 30 male, lied to my wife, 30 female, several years ago on our first date. Do I fess up or just live with the guilt? I met my wife at work when I took a job out of state. I was in desperate need of a career change, so I had lied on my resume to get the job. I lied about having pediatric experience to land a summer job and get out of the ICU. I had been trying to get a job as a school nurse or something like that, but hadn't been able to due to lack of pediatric experience. I saw the posting for a summer job out of state, so I lied and I got the job. That job happened to come up in a group setting that included several of my coworkers, including my wife, who was just a coworker at the time. I was the only new person there, and I didn't know who knew who or anything like that, so I just continued the lie. Weeks passed, and I eventually asked her out. On our first date, she asked me again about the job. She asked what hospital and something like what I thought of the area. Since I had faked the resume, I knew the name of the hospital, and I just told her. And I knew that it was a large city, so I just said something like, yeah, it was just a busy city, not really my thing, I prefer the country. I still didn't really know her, and I didn't want to risk losing my job, so I continued the lie. During our first year together, it came up maybe one or two more times, and I just thought, well, I'm in this effing deep now, I can't go back. It's been several years since then. We have a great marriage, an amazing relationship, but man, this just eats at me. Part of me has always wanted to tell her out of respect, but part of me also thinks it's selfish. Like I would just be sacrificing her happiness for my clear conscience and that I deserve the guilt because I lied. I just never expected it to ever come up in conversation. I moved 18 hours away for the job and I didn't want to risk getting fired. Do I tell the truth or accept that I will just live with a bit of guilt forever? Please know that I do not have a habit of lying or anything like that. I had no idea we would fall in love and no idea this one thing I lied about for a job would come up multiple times. This keeps me up at night sometimes and I just feel terrible.
Oh, I think tell. Like he said as well, he's in a healthy relationship. I don't know, especially if it's keeping him up at night. I don't know. I don't know his situation, but I'm someone that has lied many times before, and I now joke about those lies openly. So, for example, not to you. Like, I don't tell you my lies. No, no.
You don't joke with me about the lies.
So, for example, I never really finished school.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, I was at school and, well, barely at school, and I would wag all the time.
Wag means to skip school.
Yeah, skip school.
People don't know what that means.
And, anyway, we were about to move. We're in a different state and we're going to move states. And I was just about to finish year 10. So you have in Australia, you have the option to finish at year 10. If you want to, you can, you know, I was going into a trade. And my brother and my mum had already left the state to move to the new house. And I'm someone that's very impulsive. I'm like, all right, decision's been made. Let's just do it. Like, what are we waiting for? But Dad and I stayed back because I had to finish school. So we're in final exams for year 10 and I just told them that I'd finished. I told my parents that I'd finished.
Yeah.
And Dad and I left and we moved.
So you didn't do the exams?
I didn't do the exams. I think I did some of them, but not all of them. So anyway. Yeah. And Mum, being the feisty cracker that she is.
Firecracker?
Feisty cracker.
Feisty cracker.
I think she got a phone call or something. We found out some way that the school was like, Blair didn't finish his exams.
I think they weren't going to give you your year 10 certificate or
something
like that.
Yeah, so Mum is on the phone to them, giving them an earful. Good on you, Mum. You guys said he could go. No, he is finished, blah, blah, blah. They gave me my year 10 certificate. That's sort of the moral of the story.
I feel like I might have even been in your life when you told her about this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I feel like I remember being there for it, or she had forgotten about it or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But see, that's the thing, though. That's not a lie that you told me.
No.
And so I wonder if...
That's why I told my mom.
Yeah, but you're not married to your mom. True. Just to clarify.
Yeah.
And also, like, that's so, so long ago. So...
Yeah. Well, I mean, this guy's talking like 9 years, right?
Yeah, multiple years. Okay. I'm not sure, but... And also the lie had nothing to do with her. It was already a standing lie.
That's what I mean. Like, that's why I'm like, I think it, for me, it would be, hey, funny story. I lied.
Actually.
Yeah.
Once I lied, like when I was 13, I lied about the stupid thing. And.
Tell me the stupid thing.
Oh my gosh, it's such a boring story. Wouldn't it even be interesting? I'm boring myself. But anyway, I lied to my friends. There was a whole big drama. We were 13. Like one guy liked a girl and then I like lied about something and it made a whole thing. And then everyone hated him because of my lie.
So who is it? Can we call him out on the podcast?
Because I don't have much to do with the guy and he probably still hates me. Anyway, it just faded off into nothing. Yeah. I can't remember if I talked to him about it or whatever, but literally years later, like I'm talking like year 12, came up in conversation or something like my friend. And I was like, this is my moment. And I was like, yeah, I made that up. And she's like, you what? And I was like, I told you this ages ago.
It's a true lie.
Yeah. And she's like, no, you didn't. And I was like, yes, I did. Oh, my gosh. All that
you're such a good friend.
Such a good friend. Anyway, back to the story.
Mm-hmm.
I think I agree with you. I would just tell you because it's, for one thing, it's not a foundational thing. It is potentially significant. I don't know.
Yeah. I can see that someone would be hurt about the lie still.
Mm.
Of like, oh, hold on. What else have you lied to me about?
It might make you question.
It could, again, we don't know her triggers or anything else like that. It could open up another can of worms somewhere else. But I still think it's worth the journey.
Mm.
Even if it does open up a can of worms for her, I think it's still worth the journey. And, you know, good will hopefully come from that.
Yeah. Small lies become big lies and big lies kill. It's true, though, because if there's a wedge, and there's been times where we've navigated this too, where there's something that's not truthful or something we're not being honest about or whatever, and it can cause a wedge, whether the other person knows it or not. Mm. And so it is, I think it's almost always more healthy to navigate these things. I think his point was really fascinating. Is it just to clear my conscience?
Yeah.
That's a really interesting dynamic because we've had that as well about a conversation where I raised something with Blair and it was because it had been weighing on me. And it was like, I just need to get this off my chest. And then I when I shared it with you, you're like, okay, well now it's on my chest. So it's like, that's
it. And there was nothing we could be done about it. It was just to get it off your chest. Which is a hard one to navigate because it was still on. Like, I don't want things to be a burden for you.
I think what it probably for me is it's not something that you shouldn't be telling them. It's something that you probably should have told them a long time ago.
So what do you do about it now, though?
So now you still tell them because it's like this wedge isn't going to become smaller. If anything, it will become bigger and things that are in the darkness fester. Mm. And whether this festers into anything or not, probably not because it's not super impactful on your now life, but it could fester into a pattern of not feeling like you can be honest or a pattern of like feeling crappy about who you are. And then that might lead to triggering other behaviors that are more damaging or whatever, or even, just a pattern of lying that can become a habit.
Yeah. was going to say, like, it could be an excuse for lying about something else.
Mm, yeah.
You know, well, that's not as big as this lie, yeah. So it'll be fine.
Yeah. And it could lead to other things. So I think it is always the best thing to talk about it.
Mm.
I'm trying to think of a scenario where it really just would not be fair to put it out there.
I don't know. I don't think there is. Because my only scenario is like, all right, well, they're probably going to have a healthy relationship. Well, that's a whole other thing too, though. It's not.
They're probably not going to have a healthy
relationship. If they don't have, like, that's probably the scenario where sharing this could just tip her over the edge. Be like, you know, we're done.
But if that does, it's got to be more. There's got to be more, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, well, that's a whole other kettle of fish. It's not just a matter of this lie. It's actually, well, you got a lot of things to work on. If it's just this lie, I don't think there's a scenario where you wouldn't share it.
Because the other thing too is, even if it was just this one lie that would tip them over, he is not allowing her to make a whole decision for herself. Mm. So even if there was one thing that's not that significant, but if you said it to her, it might make her leave you kind of thing. You're being unfaithful in not allowing her to know what she's committed to and agreed to, and not allowing her to know the full picture of what she's. Imagine finding out, like, years down the track that you've, even if it's a small thing, it would just sit weirdly. Mm. Like, on the flip side of that, the sooner the better, because the longer you don't tell, the more it becomes a thing. Yeah. Unless you do what I did in high school and you just say, I told you this ages ago.
Yeah, you silly
goose. You could probably do that. But then you've got that lie that you then have to hide. Small lies become big lies, and big lies kill. I agree. I think that honesty is the best policy. It's painful. It might cause issues that you don't feel like you actively have, but I think that's a bit of a faux stability. It's not real. Just because you're not telling the truth, and so things feel more stable, is not that they're actually more stable. That's actually just a temporary or toxic dynamic. And I don't think she'll be that mad.
Mm.
I wouldn't personally be that mad. I think I'd be more just like, why didn't you tell me? You know me now. Like, you had many years for this to be a thing that you brought up and you didn't. I think that would be the biggest thing for me. Unless there is some legal ramifications that could become.
Well, either way, if this is you, we're in it together.
Well, and you never know, now people might chase you down to finish year 10. So
come at me, bro.
You have done university since then, so that's good. That means a lie has carried you through.
I've got
small lies become big lies.
Yeah, but I've got a certificate. What are they going to do?
Joke's on them. All right, well, before we get to the final, I guess, to tease it a little bit, we have a Patreon, and we also have Spotify subscription, and we'll make a post on how to sign up for these things. But we thought it would be a good opportunity to create a little bit extra content for anyone that wants to subscribe. We'll be doing extra stories when we do our Reddit stories. We'll be doing extra chats when we do our chit chats, and just some extra little bits and pieces along the way. We thought this would be probably a safer place to maybe be a little bit more raw and honest about some of the stuff that we're navigating. So if that's of interest, check it out. We'll put a post up with that. We'll probably just give you a little bit of a teaser, because that's, you know, the way of things.
And if you're not on social media, even if you are on social media, make sure you sign up to our website, and that's going to be the best way for you to get communicata.
Communicata, yeah. Good job.
From us.
We are also really, really looking forward to that stream of communication with you guys, because we have lots of things that we find really helpful and we want to be able to share. And also, we have really big plans for our community in this process. And it's not happening right now, but some really cool things that we're hoping will happen eventually. So if you are keen to hear about those, and be maybe included in some of those decision-making things or anything as well, sign up via the website onto our email list. Won't be super regular emails at this stage, just because it's a lot of work as it is. But when they come out, they come out. But I thought I'd just give you the title, which is a little bit of a teaser, but also similar to the conversation we were already having, like I mentioned. This will be the conversation we'll be chatting about on our Patreon/subscription.
This is new to me.
I, 26 female, am uncomfortable with my boyfriend's. I, 26 female, and oh my gosh. I, 26 female. Can I do it without you laughing? I, 26 female, and I can't say and.
You made me deaf. You burst my eardrums.
Sign up for extra content. I, 26 female, am uncomfortable with my boyfriend, 27 male's coworker. So hop on over to there if you want to hear that story. But to finish us off,
let's communicata GPT out. ChatGPT. Okay. So this time the genre is drama.
Drama from ChatGPT.
And with that earth-shattering revelation, the curtain falls on today's epic saga at Honey, We Need to Chat. We've laughed, we've cried, maybe, and we've uncovered the mysteries of the heart, one chat at a time. So until our next thrilling adventure into the wild jungles of love and communication, keep your hearts open and your listening ears ready. The world might just be forever changed until we meet again.
I think you might have a future in Audible books.
Same.
Bye, until next
time. Bye.